designer and founder of Manly Emma Manly, Laura Kinsler, who is a milliner, and Lisa Ryder, who's a bag designer, are with me now in studio. I have to say, I don't think I've ever felt so badly turned out. I feel like I'm wearing my usual battered runners. And
there's no judgment from us, so don't worry.
I feel like I'm serving day-old Weetabix up to Gordon Ramsay. But anyway, each of you are designers. You're working in Ireland. You're based in Ireland. You're producing your own work. I suppose, first of all, really, just give a sense of each of you. Emma, what's your own kind of business? How did you get into it?
So I suppose I started Manly 5 years ago now. And I suppose you could say I didn't lick it off a stone. I have a fashion designer for a mother, and my dad would have been an entrepreneur himself. So I think I was just very much brought up around it. There was never anything else that I wanted to do other than fashion. And when CAO time came around, I kind of just had my eye on the prize and just went for it. You know, I studied abroad, I studied in Dublin, but I then went away
to... Is
that
the College of Art and Design?
No, they actually rejected me three
Did
years
they?
In a row, so I got the hint and I headed to the Grafton Academy, reluctantly, because it's where my mom had studied, actually. So I think you have that thing where you want to do something a little bit different to what your parents had done.
But that is interesting for anyone who is filling in application forms. I mean, they didn't want you. I imagine they want you now.
I don't know about that, but yeah, at the time I was quite hurt by it. But now I think, you know, I'd always craved that kind of art college. Mm-hmm. I just wanted to be that hippy dippy for a few years, and it didn't happen. But maybe it was the best thing for me. But yeah, after I graduated, then I headed off to New York to intern for a luxury sportswear label there, and then I headed for London to work with the late and great Alexander McQueen.
And Manly itself, then, the brand. So what is your brand? What's your kind of product range?
So Manly began as a women's wear line 5 years ago, and 2 years ago we added on Manly jewellery. And then this year we launched the Manly bag collection as well as Manly bridal. So I suppose you could say, you know, now we have a suite of products where we did just start as women's wear. So it's great to have a brand that has so many products in it, because it keeps me on my toes, and it definitely makes sure that every day is a different day for me.
And where does that sit in terms of the market? Is it kind of casual jeans, or is it kind of posh frocks?
Absolutely not. It's actually neither, I would say. It's a contemporary women's wear line, so we would specialise in separates. But there's a massive focus on leather and embellished goods, which is quite unusual, I think, for the Irish market. And then especially with our jewellery, what we do is we actually use the offcuts from our women's wear line to create beautiful handmade embellished leather statement necklaces, which is again very unusual for the Irish market.
And Laura, millinery, how is millinery?
How is millinery? Millinery is great in Ireland at the
moment.
And
how did you get into millinery?
It was almost like a happy accident. I actually was working in women's wear. I studied in Limerick School of Art and Design and went abroad, worked in Mexico.
So you did have the hippy-dippy college experience.
I did have the hippy-dippy college experience, which probably didn't stand to me, because it's very design-based, and, you know, I thought to be so creative that you slightly forget about the business side of it, and then you kind of get a small slap in the face when you have to set up a business and you have to do your accounts and all the other things that come with it. So,
Did they have millinery in Limerick?
No, not at all. You can't study it at all in college in Ireland, no. So I did work under a milliner in Ireland, and then actually interned in London with it. You can only study in London with millinery.
In terms of millinery, the millinery market here, presumably it's the races, is the big thing, the kind of the flamboyant and the extravagant, as opposed to anything else?
Yeah, mainly the races, but the weddings are actually a big thing.
Right.
There's an awful lot of pressure on the mother of the bride to have something on her head, and definitely the mother of the groom then as well. And these days a lot of the wedding guests are wearing headpieces as well, and the brides themselves, they're kind of turning away from the more like church veil, and they're kind of going towards something maybe smaller and kind of elegant on their head. So
is that unusual? Is Ireland unusual in that there's still a kind of a hat? Oh, now, I lived in London for quite a long time, and in South London there's a big hat tradition on Sundays, with kind of West African and Caribbean women who wear very kind of extravagant Sunday hats, and there's obviously a thing there, and here it's more sort of occasion wear.
It's definitely occasion wear, yeah. You don't really see that many people wearing them on a day-to-day basis, or not even on a Sunday. Like back in the 50s it would have been like that, but not anymore. It kind of, once the 60s came and women decided to raise their hemlines and lose their hats, unfortunately it hasn't come back in. Now, I know Kate Middleton has done a lot for it. She always wears a hat.
Does she?
Yeah, on like every occasion she goes to her every day. So she's kind of done a lot for millinery, I suppose.
And Lisa Ryder, handbags, is it?
Yes, it is. We started about 4 years ago. I trained as a textile designer. I did fine art, print and textiles in Galway in GMIT. And then after that, it kind of trained you to be an artist. I worked for a while kind of doing installation pieces for architects. Then obviously the recession hit. I decided I'll go back to college. I went back and I did my master's in textiles for fashion in Glasgow School of Art. And then after that, I travelled to London, where I worked for like high street and kind of more high end ready to wear designers. And then I did some freelance work. And I suppose I did that probably for about 2-3 years. I think London can be a little bit hard to live in if you're not from there. I'm obviously from the west coast of Ireland, so I kind of wanted to come home. Mm-hmm. And then when I came home, it was like, how do I bring my print? And then I think I just did a bit of networking, met some people, and I kind of happily fell into accessory design.
And so when you come back from London, because the kind of fashion industry and the design industry is huge there, and it's industrial.
Yeah.
So you can get a job or you can intern. There's different things. Presumably that is that not an option that's open to you so much here?
Interning was hard in London because they don't pay.
Right.
So
and London's expensive.
Yes. And thank God I had family over there that were really good to me. Let me crouch surf for a while. But I think the interning is coming a bit more in Ireland, but they want to stay here for a few months and then they want to go to London, because then they get to go into a bigger house if they're lucky enough to get a job. So,
and each of you has worked abroad and done things abroad. Emma, is that important?
Yeah.
Because Ireland's a relatively small market.
It is indeed. And I do think it's hugely important, to be honest. I think for me, getting out of Ireland for those 2 years that I did and interned abroad, it was probably what made me get the growth for fashion back and made me want to come home to do it. You know, prior to then, I'd always perhaps set my sights on London and going working for a design house there. And then when I spent so much time away, all I wanted was to be back home. And I think you need that time away to learn from, you know, as Lisa was saying, the bigger fashion houses, because we don't have those available to us here. Like, never did I think that I would be working in, you know, Alexander McQueen's design studio. Like, yeah, that was a huge thing. I never would have had that opportunity here. And, you know, the funny thing about that is that I was never into embellishment before I interned there. I got falsely placed on the embellishment team and I thought I was just going to lose it. But then...
Or kill time till you get off it.
Exactly. I just wanted to get the hell out of there initially. And then all of a sudden, if you look at Manly now, you know, what are we known for? It's our embellishment. So I think it's really important to really test yourself, go away, do that. And then some people do stay away, and I understand that there's far more job opportunity. But for me, I definitely wanted to come back and have an Irish brand.
Yeah. And in terms of coming back, Laura, if you come back, do you have to work for yourself? Is that the way it works if you want to be a designer?
Unfortunately, it seems to be that way. Most of the designers in Ireland are very, very small teams. And a lot of them, unfortunately, have such a small operating system that they can't really afford to take on someone full time as much as we would love to. So when you come back, you know, you might look for work, but it's kind of do or die. You know, you kind of have to set
and
up
yourself.
That's
tough, as you say. I mean, the college might train you in the skills and the crafts.
Yes.
And the kind of the design. They're not really training you to be an accountant or a marketeer or anything like that.
No, not at all. Like, you completely kind of skip that side of it, and then you have to do it for yourself. And I have to say, there's a few small pieces. Things that are here that are great.
Are there supports?
There's a few small ones, but there isn't a great support for the mix, the combination of creativity and business. They're only kind of coming about now, but like the local enterprise office has been quite good to me this year. But
where are you based? So what's your local enterprise office?
It's actually Woodkey. So I'm based in Portobello.
In the city centre,
yeah. And that's my local one. And a guy there, Dave, has been really good with kind of the grant system this year.
And would he have seen sort of businesses like yours, kind of design-led businesses?
He has come across some, and it was actually another designer, We Are Islanders, that actually recommended him or calling them about getting grants. So up to then, I hadn't had any much help. The Irish Design 2015 was brilliant last year. There was some mentoring and really good systems there in place, but unfortunately that didn't continue. So you kind of are looking around for something or someone else to help you. And it's very hard to find a mentor or somebody who works in the creative industry that understands the business side as well. There are very few of them around.
And are there peer groups? I mean, you're all kind of an age and in the same industry. I mean, do people talk to each other about the kind of the challenges? Or are you all sort of cutthroat competitive?
No, that's what I found about coming back from London. That's what I found hard about London. Everybody If you didn't go to Central St. Martin's, forget about it. And like in Ireland, it didn't, no matter what college you went to, if you went to NCED, which is the big fashion college in Ireland, everybody was really open and friendly and shared their ideas. That's how I found out about how to kind of get my business started and get introduced to the people that were going to help me.
And because there are very practical things to get in your business started. You have to fill in forms, you have to, you know, go to a company's secretarial and do all that sort of stuff. But then there are things like production. I mean, production is tough, isn't it?
It's about sourcing. Like, through my connections, I found my production. For me to bring my product into price point, it was not feasible to be able to do it in the UK or do it in Ireland.
And why is that? So you can design here because it's just you designing and you could be anywhere, presumably.
Yeah, well, I print on leather, so the skills aren't here, the factories aren't here. Like, I produce in Italy. Because they have, and I chose Italy because they have a tradition of craft, and I wanted to make my product at a mid-market
Italy's
point.
Not kind of Vietnam. It's not really low cost.
No, and I wanted to make sure that the people who were making my product were getting paid a fair wage, and I wanted to keep it within the EU as well. Mm-hmm. And I wanted to work with a country that has a nice working relationship with Ireland, and they respect what we do, and we respect what they do. And yeah, so far it's been going great with Italy. I found the factories that I want to work with.
And how do you do that? I mean, that's tough. Did you look, sort of arrive in Milan Airport and just kind of start driving? Or?
God, no. I can't speak Italian, so I would be hand gestures everywhere. No,
they're
I have an agent.
Anyway.
Yeah. Too much espresso. I have an agent over there who works for me. So he brings me to the factories. I tell him the price point that I want to work within. I do everything limited edition. And then he brings me to the factories. And then if I feel a connection with them, that's how I work with them. And I'm not really that bothered about who else they work with. Mm-hmm. Like, they throw around Gucci, Prada, all these big names. You're like, I don't care, as long as you can make my product and bring it in on time and everything. And I don't have any complaints, and I'm quite happy to work with you.
Yeah. And what is, you know, in terms of producing a bag, because handbags are notoriously expensive. How do you design for the Irish market and price for the Irish market?
Well,
is it just the Irish market for now?
Well, I export, like, I sell online, so I do have my main base customers in the UK, which has kind of slowed down since Brexit, and I think the sterling has kind of made them a little bit wary about buying. And then I export to, like, Canada. Like, I think the diaspora has really helped as well, people going to Australia and America and Canada and stuff like that. So you will get your product out there, but mostly my market is in Ireland, yeah.
And how do you price for the Irish market then?
Well, like, I want...
Presumably if you're using Italian, you know, craftspeople, that's not cheap.
Yeah, but as I said, they're set up so that they can have, like, you can have the higher end fab factory, you can have the mid, and I work with the mid end factory. So, like, I keep my shapes quite simple. So, and I would use, like, a lot of printed leather, and I design my own shapes and I do my own pattern cutting for them. So that always keeps the cost down. If they just end up having to cut it out and make it for you, that's...
Yeah.
Yeah.
And Emma, your parents were in the business. You obviously grew up with it. Presumably they were fairly comfortable with you going into the business. But fashion is not accounting, is it? I mean, it's a fickle industry, and you can do well, but you can a lot of people can struggle.
Yeah, absolutely. And no, they weren't actually. Well, my dad's not around now, and he wasn't when I set up the business. But my mom would have been very anti, you know, Emma going into fashion.
Really?
Oh, completely. Yeah, she'd been through it, and you can't blame her. And I kind of think now, you know, if I had a little girl who was wanting to go into fashion, I'd be there going, "Oh God, you know, there's so much to it, and it's definitely a difficult path." But I think what happened was, actually, when it was CAO time, I was all, you know, headstrong about doing marketing because that's what she told me I should do. So I told her I filled out the CAO form with marketing, but I didn't. And instead I went off and got a foundation course in fashion and textile design. And I gave her the acceptance letter and I said, look, please, can we just, you know, allow me to do this 1 year? And she said, if you make it work and if you still have that grow for fashion at the end of it, then you can go off and study full time. So since I have been studying full time and, you know, gone to launch Manly, she's been such a huge support system for me. She would do all of the fittings for Manly. And in general, she's just that person that I can pick up the phone to and say, you know, I'm having this issue with production, or I'm having this issue with whatever. She's been through it all. So it's great to have somebody there to be able to bounce ideas off as well. And, you know, just to have that person that, you know, when you're not having the best day or when you're having an absolutely fabulous day, and you can say, guess what we did and this is what we achieved. You know, it's great to have that person there.
Yeah. And because as you said earlier, you're pretty much on your own in terms of being an independent business person in Ireland if you want to be a designer.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, it's what I always say is it's very hard to be that kind of inspired creative when you are the person that wears all the hats in the business. And I know Laura kind of touched on this earlier on, and we are...
Laura wears all the hats in the business.
She does wear all the hats in the business. All the fancy hats. But it's been such a... I suppose it's one of those things that when I set up Manly, I never imagined that I was going to be a businesswoman. I thought I was going to be a designer. And the reality is very different. You know, the time that we spend on our business versus the time we spend creating collections is not what any of us thought it would be. But for me, that's what really gets me. I love it. And I love being able to control kind of all areas of it. And I think that's what just keeps us going and keeps us pushing on. And I really enjoy it.
And Laura, can that be difficult? Because you have to have a profile in order to kind of to support the business, to do the thing that you want to do, which is make the hats. How do you balance how do you make sure that you're not over concentrating on making hats, spending too much time, designing hats, and do you make the hats yourself?
Because
that's skilled.
I make everything completely in my studio.
Time intensive. How do you balance that? You're crafting a hat, you're designing a hat, and then you have to promote your business at the same time.
It's very difficult. I do get some help sometimes with some people who are lucky enough to just give me advice on brand management and stuff, but it's extremely difficult. I have to a lot of times of the day where I can only answer emails at that time, because I work with my hands so much that if I stop every time I get an email in, I would be constantly at my computer and never making my hat. So I have certain times of the day I have to do that, and you can't remember everything. And then social media is another whole aspect of it, and that's what is really promoting your brand these days. So that's a whole other section that you didn't even have to think about at the start as well, that you have to do.
Do you do it all on your own? Do you work alone, or are there people in the business with you?
I am generally on my own, but I do have a lot of help. Luckily enough, my mother helps me quite a bit as well. She's really, really good with her hands, and she helps me. She helped me knit a collection, and she helped me bead another collection, and she helps my Spring Summer 17 that I showed at London Fashion Week. I had both my mother and my sister around the table sewing bits of straw together for me for a full day, and everyone kind of always chips in. I had three brilliant interns over the summer from NCAD, and they were really, really good and helped, and my studio mate has helped me over time.
Is that something you're conscious of? I mean, there are people studying now. I mean, do you work with the colleges? Do you talk to people in colleges? Is that a thing that designers do?
I used to part-time lecture in Ulster University. I do think, though, not every student wants to be a designer. Not mm-hmm. every student wants to have their name in lights. Like, a lot of students actually just prefer the making and doing and the production side of it. So I do think that,
In Limerick Art College of Art and Design a long time ago, and we used to slag him off for being at the College of Making Do. So that just reminded me of that.
Yeah, I just think that maybe Ireland should, or Irish colleges should, start looking into doing a production course, kind of learning those skills and how they could run a fashion business, how they could help a designer run their business, get their production. And eventually that may lead to Ireland getting its production back. Like, we still have Foxford Woolen Mills, we still have Donegal Tweed.
Do Barry's still here, aren't they?
Yeah.
Don't manufacture.
Yeah. I don't think they manufacture here, but we have a strong tradition of knit and traditional textiles, but I think there's a lot of designers coming out of Ireland that are more contemporary.
That's craft.
Yes, they are craft based, and the Craft Council are a great help to mm-hmm. any designer, and I found them wonderful when I started. It's just production is one of those things that is lacking in Ireland big time.
Yeah. Doesn't really matter for you. You have to do it yourself, Laura. If you when you get to scale, can you bring in kind of milliners to work with you? Is that a practical thing?
Yeah, definitely. But unfortunately, I'm a little bit controlling, and I'm very obsessive about how things are finished. So I'd be very strict on who I bring in. But yeah, if anyone, I actually found that textile students are almost better than design students because of the work I do is hands work. Yeah. So hopefully it would be good. But I'm kind of lucky in the sense that not like the girls here, that I don't have to look for production abroad. But then again, I have to do everything myself, which makes it twice the work almost.
I'm sure they wouldn't agree with you.
Well, probably not. Sorry.
Emma Manley, Laura Kinsler and Lisa Ryder, thanks for coming in. That was absolutely fascinating. I have to say, I'm not a fashion expert. I know a little bit more now. Up next, we'll be speaking to Catherine Fulvio.